Welcome to Heidelberg Meditations on this Tuesday of the 40th week in the year of our Lord 2022, as we continue our study of Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 105. Question 105, what does God require in the sixth commandment? That I do not revile, hate, insult, or kill my neighbor either in thought, word, or gesture, much less in deed, whether by myself or by another, but lay aside all desire of revenge. Moreover, that I do not harm myself, nor willfully run into any danger. Wherefore, also, to restrain murder, the magistrate is armed with the sword. 1 Samuel chapter 11 records one of the most sordid affairs in biblical history. There we find the king of Israel, David, conspiring first to commit adultery, as a woman he had seen from his house was brought to him at his command. And then, after getting her pregnant, David conspired to have her husband, Uriah, murdered. For he had called Uriah home from battle that he might sleep with his wife, and then think that the child was his. However, Uriah would not enjoy the company of his wife, in solidarity with his fellow soldiers still on the front lines. Thus David sent Uriah back to battle with a letter to the commander to put him on the front lines. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. In the morning David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him that he may be struck down and die." Upon these things taking place, God sent his prophet Nathan to David to confront him. The first thing he confronted David with, however, was not the adultery, but the murder. 2 Samuel 12, verse 9, Nathan said, "Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites." Though he had not been the physical wielder of the sword that slew Uriah, it was David who murdered him. As we confess, if we cause the unjust death of someone, whether by our own hand or by another, we are guilty of murder. Co-opting someone else to our plan does not absolve us of the guilt. Hiring someone to do the deed does not mean the sin is not placed at our feet. We may try a myriad of mental gymnastics to try and excuse ourselves, but at the end of the day, the one who arranges the death of another in just such a fashion is guilty of murder. Not just murder of the heart and mind, but God holds him accountable as if he himself had swung the sword or pulled the trigger. To connive in the death of another is murder. To seek the death of another is murder. To even imagine the death of another is murder. And to try and avoid legal culpability by arranging the death of another, even if it is made to look like an accident, is murder. For God does not take lightly the death of a human at the hands of another human, which is why the penalty for murder is death. Genesis 9, verse 6, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." As image bearers of the Most High God, we are to do all that we can to protect life, to save life, to encourage life, not to take life. Yet, as David himself found out, even murderers can be forgiven if they but repent before God and seek his face. And while the temporal judgments may still be meted out, we can know that even our most heinous of crimes are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. For Jesus died even to save murderers. And as all of us have done so, if not by conniving or our own hand, then certainly by our anger, rage, envy, or hate, we can take great comfort that as we turn to our merciful God in confession and repentance, he does indeed forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that his name might be glorified before all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.